Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Oh, what a great show we have lined up for you tonight. L.A. Marzulli, lamarzulli.net, Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com, together. Oh, man. Yeah, this is the kind of programming you've been waiting for. Of course, tonight, just a little bit of news tonight, of course, SCOTUS pick, Supreme Court pick, odds-on favorite, Gorsuch, apparently. But we'll see what happens at 8 o'clock Eastern. Supposedly gonna tickle the fancy of the evangelicals. We'll see what happens. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report, where we broadcast live each and every weeknight, 7 to 10 PM Eastern Time, Global Star Radio Network, YouTube Live. You're watching us there on YouTube Live, unless you're listening to us and listening and watching and whatever, as well as Blog Talk Radio, BTR. Fine folks there as well. Don't forget, we've got two separate websites, HagmanReport.com for our show content. That's HagmanReport.com, two N's, of course, and Hagman and Hagman there for the show. Watch the show, different venues, options, and such. Both websites. Visit both. And HagmanReport.com, bookmark that website. Now, the two gentlemen we have on tonight are just fantastic folks. You know them. We know them. They are tremendous authors, researchers. LA's got a new series coming out. Steve Quayle, his phenomenal research. And of course, you know about the trip to Peru and such. But all of that said, Joe, I'm just going to welcome you on, and you just bring both of them on. We'll go to Steve first, then LA, and we'll just fire away. But you come on board.
Yeah, just give a quick outline of tonight's show. For the first 2 hours, we have both L.A. Marzulli and Steve Quayle. L.A. Marzulli's website is lamarzulli.net, and we have Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. And then in hour three, Stan Day will be our guest, as he is each and every Tuesday in the third hour. Right now, I'll turn it over to Steve. Steve and L.A., welcome to the show. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight it's a privilege for the first time in history for LA and I to be on together. And what's interesting is you'll hear some amazing information, testimony, and research that complements each other. And by the time we're done tonight, I think you're going to probably have a lot of your, I would say, concern that we're just off on some crazy tangent or that you can't really embrace the Genesis 6 Giants account. I think a lot of that will be allayed tonight. Now, obviously, LA is going to be joining us on the True Legends VIP Expedition and Seminar in Cusco, Peru. That's going to be a treat because obviously LA has been down there doing all of his skull work with Brian Forrester and all of his DNA investigation. And ladies and gentlemen, this is June 11th through the 18th. We've only got probably 5 to 6 places open. We had 3 other people that were going, but one of them had a pretty serious medical emergency and another had, I would say, problems, home problems, and they just couldn't do it. So this is a luxury trip, luxury accommodations, gourmet food, and the luxury train to Machu Picchu. Along with L.A. Marzulli and myself will be Timothy Alberino and Anselm P. Rambla. We're going to go to some of the most famous megaliths in the world, Tambo Mache, Machu Picchu, Ollanta Tambo, the Coricancha, and the megalithic foundations of Cusco. Now, I want everybody to understand this. Anselm P. Rambla will be taking us to some of the dig sites where he and his team conducted the archaeological excavations which disprove, I'm going to say this again, disprove the official narrative concerning the megaliths in Peru, and they absolutely point to a pre-flood origin. We've got megaliths that go to the time period before the megalith, I'm sorry, before the flood of Noah and after the flood of Noah. And today, I posted a story that now they've found the original, if you will, some of the original settlements on Gondwanaland. That's a supercontinent. In the book of Genesis, it talks about that God parted the continents in the days of Peleg, P-E-L-E-G. So we're going to extend the registration to March 1st, and we require 50% down payment for registration with full payment required by the very 1st of March. And anyone who wants to register after March must pay full price up front due to booking logistics. We have 20 spaces, and this is going to be a private seminar. We're not just going to go around like a bunch of tourists and take pictures. You're going to have, I guess you'd say, probably the most astonishing megalith and monument and the entire presentation of the pre-flood builders. So tonight it's my joy to be on with L.A., and we're going to talk about the giants. Now, L.A. was contacted, and L.A., I'm just giving a little introduction, then take it away. L.A. and I were contacted by two different people at two different times concerning two different giants, actual physical giants, that were encountered in Afghanistan, separated by a year apart. The Kandahar giant, which L.A. has brought to everyone's attention, is different than the Bagram giant that I brought to everyone's attention, and when we were talking about 2005. So, L.A., what a delight to have you on. Thank you for joining us on the seminar and in Cusco. And let's go ahead and share, if you would, let's give people, you know I love this, let's give people, share the story of the Kandahar giant, if you would, and then I'll share the story of the pilot. And then we'll just take where our I guess you'd say, intersecting research and conclusions are leading us. Go ahead, sir.
Be on with you. I mean, I've listened to you for absolutely years. I remember in the 90s, I would be driving back from recording studios in Los Angeles, and I'd be listening to Coast, and guess who was on? Steve Quayle. So it's really very cool that we've, you know, coming on the Hagman Show. It's the first time we've ever done anything like this. It's an honor for me, and it's a blessing, too. I mean, for everybody. It's so cool when you get, you know, guys that are kind of plowing in the same field from different directions, so to speak, and meeting in the middle. And it's just amazing. And I got to tell you, man, Sacsayhuaman, that place, it's just, when you go there, my jaw was on the ground for the whole time. And the Cori Concha, I mean, these are megaliths, Steve. You're right. It is absolutely astounding when you're in Peru, when your hands are actually touching the wall at Sacsayhuaman, and you feel the mountain wind and the mountain air, and you're a little lightheaded because you're about 12 to 13,000 feet above sea level. You know, and you're just sitting there, and you realize that, wait a minute, this, you can't do this. You can't do it in modernity. And we're talking thousands of years ago, even before the Neolithic. I mean, it's pre-flood stuff and fallen angel technology, and it's staring at you right in the face, you know, and it's like, there's just no way around it. But, you know, getting into the giant thing, the way that came to us was bizarre. The co-producer and my friend Richard Shaw, the director of the Watchers series, he got 10 of these things, by the way, shameless plug. And Richard was on a show, and he was talking about Israel and what's going on over in Israel and the Middle East, and they were going back and forth, and a caller came in and sort of bolstered Rick's position about the IDF. And this guy apparently was ex-military. You could tell by the way he was talking. This guy knew what he was talking about. So the host of the show held him on at the end of the show. And one thing led to another, and Rick struck up a conversation with this guy, and the conversation sort of continued. And somehow it got around to Nephilim and giants and Anakim and the whole deal. And he just basically blurted out that he was in Afghanistan and he shot one. And, you know, it's like Rick just was obviously dumbfounded. And he got his email, got his phone number. I shot the guy an email within 24 hours, and we struck up phone conversations. Now, you know, when you get something like this, you kind of do pre-interviews. You know this, Steve. You try to vet it as much as possible, get a feel for what the guy is. He's like, is he trying to put something on me? Is he hyping me? Is he honest? I mean, you know, you just try to vet the thing. And of course, there's really no way to vet it. I mean, you got this guy's word. What intrigued us is I knew obviously your story, and I had heard it on Coast to Coast, the pilot coming on the record anonymously talking about the giant that he flew out. So I'm sitting there going like, you know, okay, so we got Steve's story, which is incredible, and now you've got a shooter. I wonder if they're the same thing. I wonder if it's the same incident, as it were. So I flew out to where this guy lives, and I interviewed him face to face. I had business in this state, and actually it was an ongoing archaeological site, and so he met me at the site, and we spent some time together. I heard his story multiple times, literally multiple times, before we flew him out to Los Angeles, got him on the record. Now remember, this guy's got, and look, I saw the cards. He's got all sorts of top clearance stuff. He showed me his passport. None of this. You can fake stuff. You can go and you can, you know, get a passport and make it look like this. I get that. But the security clearance stuff, I mean, I guess you can fake that too. But none of it looked fake. I mean, he had everything all lined up, and here's this card, here's that card. You know, here's when I was in Iraq, Afghanistan, the whole deal. He showed me all of his stuff, and, you know, it was legit. He told me the same story over and over and over again. And I would wait a few hours and then, well, what about this point? Just to see if he would elaborate, say something different, you know, forget what he was saying, stuck to the story. And every time, and this is the one part of the story, guys, Doug, Joe, Steve, that really kind of blew me away was this. And let me just tell the story here. And this is in the shooter's own words, and we'll just call him a shooter. A patrol had gone missing in the Kandahar province of Afghanistan. They missed their rally points, first rally point, second rally point, third rally point. The next day, a second chopper was dispatched, landed basically in the same area. And these guys were off and running and looking for the missing patrol on foot. They came down this goat trail, which wound up on this sort of a ledge thousands of feet up in the valley below. And the ledge was a good-sized ledge, 30, 40 feet wide. But above it was this very large cave. And as we're coming around this making this turn onto this ledge below the cave, the shooter can see what appears to be bones of some sort and flesh of some sort. And then in the distance, he sees what looks like it might be part of a radio. And so everybody is like on red alert. They're not sure what's going on. You know, is this like, were these guys ambushed? Is it wild animals? They don't know what's going on. They're kind of spread out in a decent pattern. And all of a sudden, a living nightmare, which is the only way to describe it, comes out of the cave. Between 12 and 15 feet tall. James insists closer to 15. And I realize 15 feet is absolutely ridiculously large. And remember, when you go up, you go out. We're talking the Incredible Hulk here, basically, is what it looked like. And the shooter, everyone was frozen. Who wouldn't be? It had a lance in one hand and a shield in the other. It was barefoot. It had some kind of a loincloth thing on. It had reddish hands, six toes. Now, when it came out, it was like doing this garble-like communication. What was interesting, Ron Moorhead, who is a Bigfoot researcher, and I know like this sounds like, wait a minute, he's talking about the giant, now he's talking about Bigfoot. Hold on here. Well, we got, there's a recording called Sierra Sounds that Ron Moorhead was up in the Sierra Nevadas. He had encounters with these beings for an ongoing period of basically months, if not years. It was continuous. And they recorded these things, and they actually had them analyzed at Phoenix University. And it was a very complex language. And so Richard played what was called an agitated, on the Sierra Sounds, an agitated vocalization. And the shooter just went, that's it. That's what it sounded like, except it was deafening. It was really loud. So we're sitting here going like, you know, this is bizarre stuff. He's got details here, which are incredible. So everyone's frozen, and who wouldn't be? The sink comes out of a cave. Everyone's completely frozen in their tracks. They're stunned. They don't know what to do. And one guy, this guy by the name of Dan, breaks ranks and starts firing. Well, the giant moves with such agility and speed that everybody's stunned. I mean, here's this 15-foot guy, and he's moving like a professional linebacker on the NFL. And before anyone can do anything, he takes his lance, and he skewers Dan and holds him up in the air. And now Dan is like dangling on what I would call a Nephilim lance. We've got an artifact on that, but I digress. And, you know, the spear point of this thing is almost 3 feet in length, and it's probably a bronze artifact. And the giant is coming after more. At this point, the shooter goes, Shoot him in the head. Shoot him in the head. They've got 308s. They've got 50 cals. They've got M16s. They blast away. The whole thing, according to the shooter, is less than 30 seconds. From the time a giant comes out to where Dan is skewered and they finally fell this guy, they basically shot his lower half of his face off, literally. The giant succumbed to his wounds, and that's when they noticed the overwhelming stench, absolutely overwhelming, as powerful as a skunk. It smelled like dead bodies, the six fingers, the double rows of teeth, and they instantly called for a medevac. Dan succumbed to his wounds. Another huge chopper, Jolly Dream Giant, came out, cargo netted this thing up, off it went. Another second chopper came, picked up the team, and when they got to the base, they wrote their reports, and then they were told to rewrite their reports, basically eliminating the giant. And this guy, look, you know, I've interviewed hundreds of people, just like, you know, all you guys. And you can tell after a while. Yeah, you can get fooled, I get that. But at some point in time, you know, things have a tendency to work out. And I believe this guy. I believe the shooter. And that's why he came on the record in the Watcher series. And he was deeply, deeply troubled, not only by what he had seen, but by the death of his battle buddy, Dan. And every time he got to the part where he would talk about what happened to Dan, he'd lose it. I mean, he would choke up, he would cry, he'd hang up the phone, he'd turn away, and, you know, that's one of the main reasons why I believe him. So, in a nutshell, that's the Kandahar Giant. And of course, Steve, we're talking about, and this is, I gotta tell you guys, this is more troubling than anything. We thought, okay, but it's all the same giant, there's two different giants here, which is really troubling because now it means that there's more than one. And if there's two, how many of them are there out there that we don't know about?
L.A., would you also share the ancillary information that was given to you about the encounter? This is a separate encounter, wasn't it, when a team of military guys came upon some different giants and basically fled because all of their light arms weren't doing the job. Share how that came about.
This is, look, like you, Steve, I get hundreds of emails a day, just like the Hagmans do, and I can't possibly keep up with them. And, you know, one of these emails really caught my attention, and it was from an elderly woman whose grandson was deployed to Iraq. And apparently he was part of a survey team in a very remote area of Iraq. Now, I never went really public with this one. We didn't use it for our watchers, because the guy would never come on the record. He just would not come on the record. So my caveat is, I was not able to vet this, but this grandmother, who I did speak to on the phone, insisted that the story was true, and her grandson was greatly, greatly troubled by what he had seen. So, you know, listeners, you just got to take that as you know, take it as you want to. But the story I was told, this guy was deployed in a very remote region of Iraq. They were armed, but they were doing some kind of surveying deal. And they came upon this valley. And as they began to enter into this, like, it was like a valley surrounded by mountains type of thing, according to what I was told. Not one, not two, but a group of giants attacked them. And, of course, they started firing their weapons. And the weapons had no effect on them. In other words, and what was interesting, going back to the shooter in Afghanistan, the shooter told me that when they looked at the body, it appeared that the giant had wounds on it that were probably very fresh, but were in the process of being healed. And of course, this gets into something which is just, you know, I wish I could study the thing. But apparently, according to going back to Iraq, according to this guy, they fired their small arms, and it had no effect on these guys. They threw down their arms and fled for their lives. Now, that's what I was told. That's what I was told. And, you know, the guy would not come on the record, but his grandmother told me the story. And the reason why his grandmother contacted me, because she was very concerned. So, you know, you hear these stories, and another witness that we had was a Marine who, again, was in the Kandahar province in Afghanistan a number of years later, and he talked about being trained for cave fighting. and this is on our Watchers series and Watchers 10. And he's doing this training for KA fighting, and he's being told to aim high. And he's going, what do you mean aim high? Just aim above, well above a normal 6 foot person's head. And they weren't told why. It's like, you know, okay, you're telling me to shoot high, but what am I shooting? I mean, you know, you're telling me to shoot around 8 feet, 9 feet. It's like, what? And that's what they're being taught in this cave training. Well, the rumor going around at the Kandahar base was that a giant had been killed in some sort of a fight at the mouth of the cave, and apparently it killed one of the men. And you know, the rumor was out there. No one was supposed to talk about it. It was all hush hush, but everybody was talking about it anyway. So you know, you got the pilot, your guy Steve. We got James, the shooter, and not his real name. And we've got, you know, Bernie, for lack of a better name. That's not his real name either. The guy who was stationed in Kandahar. So, you know, you start hearing about this, and all these witnesses seem to be credible. And then, of course, you got the grandmother whose son was deployed in Iraq. So, you know, that's what we were told. And frankly, when you look at where Iraq and Afghanistan are located, that is right near Nephilim Central, where all the mischief started thousands of years ago in the days of Noah, when they landed on Mount Hermon, the 200 Watcher Angels.
Well, that's really a great overview. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you this, because, again, L.A. and I have been able to cross-corroborate not only the shooter's testimony and also the pilot's testimony, but a very neat thing, and L.A., you know you do this too. As researchers, we want to make sure we never get our own information fed back to us off the international gossip line of the Internet. So without going into detail, because there are some things that L.A. and I have to keep quiet. Obviously, we talk about them amongst ourselves. But when you can get A confirming B, now here's one of the most powerful things, L.A., that you just said. If people want to believe this, I'll tell them exactly what I tell everybody for every time I've been on talk radio for 23 years. Take this to the Lord in prayer. When that guy said that he watched those wounds heal, okay, right, in ancient history, it was very important to, and this is what multiple active duty special forces generals told me, okay? And this is about probably 5 years ago. They told me that unless you cut the head off of these things, they have right, such and you know, you've heard this, but they have the ability to spontaneously regenerate. What did David do when he killed Goliath? He took his head off, okay? And it's an interesting thing. I asked a dead CIA assassin, and this is a true story. People have heard me talk about this. I said, why does the devil, and why is this big thing of beheading so important? And he said this, simple. It's payback by the Nephilim, Rephaim, basically the fallen angels and their progeny. And do you know that there's actually an evil entity that's known as a headless demon? I'm not talking Wuthering Heights and Ichabod Crane. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm saying. Up until, what would you say, L.A., just, maybe a month or two ago, we didn't compare notes, and on when we started to compare notes, and then the shooter and the pilot compared notes and came to the conclusion that they were different events, there's too many parallel, similarities happening, and that's, ladies and gentlemen, why we're on tonight. And I believe this, and I know you do too, L.A., we are at the point now where in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Independent and of each other, we're getting the testimony of multiple witnesses. And if you throw in the generals, now some of you say, well, you don't know general. You know, I get a lot of you know what from people over that. They contacted me because I was heading up an expedition, okay? And obviously, my phones are tapped and everything else, and people think that, oh, this is so fun to play in this world of make-believe. It's not make-believe. And the gentleman that I was going to meet in the Solomon Islands was in possession of a giant cyclopean skull with horns. Yeah, if you go on my website, or you may have it too, but you can look up the Solomon Giants. And he told me the last phone call I ever had with him, we were to meet in a certain state, and we had a way arranged, believe it or not, to get that skeleton, and especially the skull, which was humongous, into the United States. He called me, and he was en route to Bali, and then he was en route to Hawaii, and then where we were going to meet. I'm just going to leave it like that. He said to me, Steve, I don't know if I'll ever make it alive. I've got, quote, XYZ intelligence agencies on my tail. Now, fast forward a little bit. By the way, he died. To the best of my knowledge, he was blown up in that Bali explosion. I get contacted from someone who more than, how do I say this, validated his bona fides, a multiple star general who also was very, how do I say this, high up in the world of not only black ops, but I would call majestic level physics. And he said, do not go. And this was at this time, probably LA, I don't know, I think it was probably about 2010, 2011, 12. So it must have been, what, 5-6 years ago. And he said, because I was told what a good bait was, believe it or not, for the Giants. They love the smell of a certain thing, and I'm not going to tell it on the air because, again, ladies and gentlemen, when we check out our sources, we've got to have evidence that we know that has not been passed around the net.
Steve,
if
we can stop there.
His exact words to me.
Wait.
Go.
Don't go. I was going to say, that's a great cliffhanger, brother. Hang on a second. We gotta take a short break. L.A. Marzulli, Steve Quayle, together. Historic broadcast. Oh, stevequayle.com, lamarzulli.net. Bookmark both sites. You're gonna buckle up because more is coming. Stay right there.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. You know, I don't want to take too much time. I want to get right back to our guests, but I've got to mention, when the lights go out, when the power goes out, when the grid goes down, when the phones go out, what are you going to do? How are you going to communicate with each other? I've got the solution right here. This is what our family uses. This is what our business uses. Everyone should have one of these. This is an Iridium 9555 satellite phone. Folks, go to satellitephonestore.com, all right? And a good friend, Eric Tallman, you heard him on with Steve. And, of course, let me just open this box here. Your satellite phone, satellitephonestore.com. The reason I want to open the box is I was going to show you what was inside, but this is the phone to get when everything goes down. You can still talk to your family members and friends. If communication between family members, friends, loved ones is important to you, this is what you need, an Iridium 9555. And this is, again, the official satellite phone of the Hagman and Hagman Report and our respective families. Contact satellitephonestore.com. Go to our website. You'll see a link directly. You can talk to Eric, my good friend Eric Tallman there, satellitephonestore.com. Tell him Doug and Joe Hagman sent you. With that, let's get right back. Steve Quayle was relating that fantastic account. Steve, sorry for the interruption. Go ahead and continue, sir.
I think that if LA and I talk for 6 hours, we could give you the introduction, but we'll get right back into it. By the way, Doug, someone said, man, I listened to you for hours and hours. I said, no, you just got the introduction for hours and hours. But listen, I want to tell people, on my Steve Quayle official YouTube channel, I'm starting to do what are called Q-casts, okay? And I'll be doing them every other day. The first 20-minute one is up on my official YouTube channel. The reason I'm putting them on my YouTube channel is because I can't keep up, Doug. I'm a one-man show, okay? I have, obviously, Tim Alberino is in the production of our DVD. I've got Carlos Santiago, who's doing the editing on everything I'm doing. But just to give people a wet whistle worth, I am convinced, and this plays into exactly what LA and I are talking about tonight, I have been told by someone who just got back from Antarctica, a scientist who's been there for 6 weeks, that who's who in the world, not just the ones we know of, but dignitaries, the heads of government, are being flown into the Antarctica. I believe someone sent me an email today saying that Sean Hannity was talking to Newt Gingrich and teasing him he's going where the penguins are. It is my contention, based on what I know, and let me share this, Doug. This individual, and I won't say the names of the different intel agencies and stuff there because I don't have his permission, but I will share this with everybody. You don't send advanced teams of the caliber of these people who are in charge of security for the most powerful people in the world to Antarctica ahead of time unless something is getting ready to happen. Now, why this ties in is very, very critical. And I just did a 20-minute update on my own, it's called QCast, okay?
And we're going to link to it, Steve. Yeah, we're going
to
link to
Steve
it.
Oh, okay, thank you, thank you. Brother, I sometimes feel like I'm a pre-flood guy when it comes to all the technology. You're blessed, Doug, with guys who are you know, very fluent in it, and L.A., you do a good job, a great job, and I got Tim and Carlos, all these young people, but, you know, I got to tell you something. If they're over 40, they probably, and I'm just saying this, they probably are very capable, but, man, you get these 30-year-olds, and they go to town, okay? So this is critical. I'm going to update it. I think I did today, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. There's just too much stuff happening, and I got to be telling everybody, it's almost, and I've come to the point, and I don't know, L.A., if you ever get this point, but I am, is I physically cannot do anything more than I'm already doing. Tom Horn and I are bringing out our book, probably our co-book. I think it'll be ready April 1st. Our next DVD that's coming out, the True Legends of Series, and basically called There Were Giants. Once you see that, ladies and gentlemen, you will never, ever be able to say that's there's wrong. Not enough evidence. This is all just myth and legend. I promise you, you cannot escape the findings. One of the things that's interesting, and I didn't know this, L.A., Doug, or anybody, until Tim found it, Alberino. Listen, to say we scour old stuff, we're not talking pots and pans. We're like talking ancient. You know this, L.A., you go through just tons and tons of stuff. What blew my mind is Timothy Alberino found Aristotle in his book Physics talking about giants, heroes, mighty men of renown that are in a state of suspended animation or stasis, okay? Now listen to this, everybody. This is pretty amazing. And we can go anywhere you want to go after this, L.A. But here's what he says. I'm quoting Aristotle. But neither does time exist without change. For when the state of our own minds does not change at all, or we have not noticed it's changing, we do not realize that time has elapsed, any more than those who are fabled to sleep among the heroes of Greek mythology, that's the giants, in Sardinia do when they are awakened. For they connect the earlier now with the later and make them one, cutting out the interval because of their failure to notice it. In essence, giants are coming. Tom Horn was probably the first guy to bring that to everybody's attention in the Septuagint. God talks about the return of the giants. And L.A., and then I'm going to turn right over to you, in everything that I have encountered, and this is what L.A. was just talking about, and I was seconding, the reason I think it was a pain in, you know, other parts of the body to these guys, these generals, because they kept trying to say, you've got to understand their, if you will, the supernatural element of their creation, meaning they're a hybrid. And what are we seeing in the news? Hybridization, mixing pigs and mixing humans, yep, and mixing everything and coming up with it. And even today, I posted a story. I'm going to get right to the point, but I posted a story by James Cameron talking about Atlantis is going to rise, okay? And he's talking about the literal island that came under God's judgment for doing what the headlines on Drudge are stating. So we're at a point now in time where those things that L.A. and I are researching, Tom Horn is researching, Timothy Alberino, and I think it's a good time, L.A., to say something. Look, your guys are welcome to take our stuff and put YouTubes up and stuff, but don't steal our stuff, okay? And literally, give attribution. The reason I say that, L.A., is because I know people have taken your stuff. I've seen it. You know people have taken my stuff. All we're trying to do is give a faithful testimony and accurate, if you will, presentation of what we found in our co-research. And then people go run with it, and they twist it, and they want to throw whatever new age slant on it or whatever they want to do, and then it comes back to us that, you know, you and I are I just got an email to this effect, that you and I are stupid because we don't know that it was the Anunnaki that created us. So, you know, and I just sent this guy an email saying, wrong, you don't know what the ancients know, and, you know, basically he says, well, it's all opinion. No, it's not opinion. At the end of the day, the evidence will demand a verdict, and I'm here to tell you, and LA is here to tell you, that you cannot escape the relevancy of fallen angels, of genetic hybrids, and maybe in the next hour we can get into some of the giant history. But the point is that, ladies and gentlemen, we're giving you stuff that is original research, not passed down through what I would call the internet absurd, steal everybody's stuff and make it your own world. Go ahead, L.A.
Yeah, you know, it's the same thing. We'll get emails from people and an entire Watchers episode, like when we were down in Peru, Watchers 6. Taking all the credits and titles off of it, and it's on their YouTube channel. It's like, come on, guys. So, we have to file a copyright claim, and eventually it gets taken down. But, you know, it's just amazing. Look, something is going on, and every Friday night, the History Channel on their Ancient Aliens, you know, and Giorgio Tsoukalos and the crew, I mean, they're all great guys, and I know some of them, and I know you know some of them too, Steve. But, you know, they hold court. They dominate the conversation. They tell us that we were seated here by extraterrestrials. And we're going, you know, I know Steve and Tom and Timothy and Gary Stearman and others are waving their hands and going, wait, not so fast, citizen. That what you think is happening, this idea of panspermia, and that we were seated here by extraterrestrials, and all these monuments like Sacsayhuamán and Ollantaytambo and Pumapunku seem to be vestiges of, you know, the Anunnaki or these ancient astronauts coming. Okay, that's one idea. That's one theory. But we, as Christians, plug in a whole different deal from Scripture, from the biblical prophetic narrative. And we know that fallen angels were here, fallen angel technology, Nephilim architecture, we both call it that, Steve, and it's everywhere. And we've got the explanation. Because, look, when the flood happened, when you go to and you look at those huge megalithic stones, you know, we're going to be there on that tour, and that's folks not for it. The bottom line is this, when you're looking at 120-ton megalithic stones set with absolute precision, polygonal shapes set with absolute precision, I mean, you can't, until you're there and you see it with your own eyes and you go, oh my gosh, and then you realize it's andesite, 7 on the Mohs hardness scale, a diamond being 10. And you realize, wait a minute, you know, all they have is llamas here. And this is thousands of years old, and the quarry is like miles away. Wait a minute, it's not, how did they move the stone, let alone cut it? How do they quarry it? And look, if it's one thing if it was just blocks, it's not blocks. They're polygonal shaped. And sometimes there's these little curves that just, you know, they do it because they can do it. And the technology that we are looking at defies anything that we have in modernity. So we look at sites like this and we realize that, you know, we go back into Genesis 6 biblical narrative, we go even before that, Genesis 3:15, where all the mischief really starts, and we get the idea of the seed war, and then the whole thing erupts. The whole thing erupts in Genesis 6, which winds up eventually with the flood of Noah. There's a little throwaway scripture, and I remember when I saw this, and I just felt it was a Holy Spirit thing. You know, you'll read, and all you guys know this, most of your listeners know this, you know, we'll be reading scripture and we've been, the Spirit will illuminate a passage of scripture, will give us an insight, will make something pop off the page at us. And one of the things that I got was in the Genesis biblical narrative, specifically after the flood, and they're building a Tower of Babel, and it says, they built with brick instead of stone. I'll say it again. They built with brick instead of stone. Why is that there? Why is that there? And in my opinion, it's because the technology that they had before the flood, which enabled them to erect these megalithic sites of stone, are no longer available. And now what we see is they can't do that anymore. So they're... And they're using bitumen or slime for mortar, and that's the whole deal. Once again, what are they trying to do? They're trying to bring the fallen ones back again because they want the technology. They want what the fallen ones had. And I just found that absolutely astounding. And of course, it's everywhere. I mean, we see it in Sardinia. We see it all throughout the Middle East. We see it in the pyramids off the coast of Japan, Mexico. I mean, it is absolutely everywhere. Fallen Angel Technology, Nephilim Architecture.
Well, totally agreed. And by the way, LA, you're cutting out a little bit, so I don't know if you're on a cell or whatever, but sometimes complete things we're missing some parts. So, Doug, are you getting it or are you losing? Because this is such an important show. I consider this a master lock show. I consider that it's at this time that LA and I are on together on Hagman and Hagman to tell you guys we wouldn't be at this point in history if something so big was getting, and pun intended, or all those things that are so big are going to be released. Now, why do we do this as Christians? I had a guy, L.A., send me an email, very ignorant man, but saying this is all sidetracking. No, it isn't. If Jesus said the greatest deception that is coming upon the planet is going to come, and except for, if God didn't, shorten the days, even the elect would be deceived. That's what we're seeing in Antarctica. That's what we're seeing in everything. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's that critical. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. And again, in the fallen angel technology, I want everybody to understand this, that there's the period before the flood, which I basically, pre-flood and post-flood architecture. What L.A. just said about the Tower of Babel, some people get bent out of shape over Babel, Babel, but the point is that the technology after the flood was totally different than before the flood. We're talking about Noah. And the point that is critical for everyone to understand is the Aztec, the Inca, and the Maya all talked about the giants that came from the east. And by the way, they claimed they were white. So this isn't a white, black, brown man argument, but it is claims that even within their own civilization, as I've stated so many times, you cannot deal with the South Pacific. You cannot deal with any group of individuals worldwide and not deal in the ancient times with cannibalism. Cannibalism is interesting. The word canna comes from Canaan. The word Baal comes from Baal worship. The sacrifice of the Canaanites was they ate people. That's what you basically hear in Numbers 13:33, where there were giants in the land, and the land devours its inhabitants. In other words, they were munching and taking everybody out to lunch, but they were on the menu. And so, again, can everyone focus, please, and just embrace in prayer. The reason this is critical and important. The Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing except he reveals the secrets to his servants the prophets. Neither L.A. or I have ever claimed to be prophets. But the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So, while everyone's fighting about this political issue or this financial issue, the thing is, the real issue is happening in the Antarctica, and it's also happening in the Arctic. Remember this, ladies and gentlemen, when Admiral Byrd entered into the Hollow Earth, whether you believe it or not, it was in the Arctic. The statement he made, it was possible in these flying machines to go from pole to pole in a matter of minutes. So now we're at a point where the old technology is coming in. And as I have warned, and L.A. has warned, and that's why he's doing all the genetic testing that he's having done. And L.A., when you told me that you got to wait for so many years, God bless you for having that kind of patience. I think I would, I got to say this carefully. I would be going different channels, we'll just leave it that way. The point is that in everyone who I have ever talked to, look, I could not know these people, and that's what I'm trying to tell people, any more than had that guy not contacted you, the shooter. God bless you, shooter. God bless you, pilot. You guys know we really appreciate you. And please, ladies and gentlemen, pray for their safety. Just say, Lord, just cover the shooter and the pilot with your presence, your warring angels. I'm not kidding. Because, listen, what we're doing, any of us, whether it's L.A., myself, Timothy Alberino, Tom Horn, we are alive by the purpose and calling of God, the grace of God, and your prayers. contrary to all of our critics, contrary to all the doubts of skeptics, of paid trolls, listen, you do not have the world's leaders, according to my information source today, who is in Antarctica up until, forgive me, he was in Antarctica up until last week, and I can't even say what he told me yet. It's not a cliffhanger. It's just what I have permission to do and what I don't have permission to do. But it all centers around, listen, Antarctica, giants, ancient civilization, the panspermia lie. The panspermia lie is that we were seeded by aliens or the Anunnaki. And one guy said, well, you know, the Bible just took off the Sumerian text. No, it didn't. The Sumerian text, and look, in Jeremiah chapter 4, God talked about a flood that's even different than the flood of Noah and the angelic civilization. And L.A., what do you think of this, that today, literally today, and I don't know, I don't believe there's coincidence, but it's timing that James Cameron talks about Atlantis rising. Now, if you don't know who he is, he's the producer-director of the Titanic, of the Avatar movies, and of, Terminator movies. And so that all happens today. And then the people who have not believed in the supercontinent, some people call it Pangaea, and that's a time frame different than Gondwanaland. That's a mouthful. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, what you're seeing, I guess, is, and I'm going to use a word and apply it to tonight with everyone's permission, you're hearing discernment, because just as CERN is opening up the portals to hell and all these, demons dancing before their throne of Lucifer slash Satan, we're telling you that God is giving you the truth in order that you not be deceived. And that's a commandment of Jesus. See that ye not be deceived. If he is telling that, then we've got to watch for his warnings. And I don't know if you do, and I'm going to turn right over to you, L.A., that if you get as much, let's just say this, difficulty with people asking you, why is this important? Because everything that is in Genesis appears in Revelation. Everything that we're talking about is the war. And let me go on record here that the army, in Joel's army, I talked to Dr. Michael Lake, and he absolutely does a beautiful job on this, but Joel's army is a supernatural army of giants released at the very end of history. And I don't know if you heard this, L.A., but I was praying about that, and then it just came to me again in one of my shower episodes. I should just stay in there and have a phone, but the point being, then I get more revelation. But the fascinating thing is that when you take all the giant DNA, the 15-footer that you are reporting, the shooter talking about, Kandahar giant, the pilot, 12-foot giant, all that DNA is extractable and reproducible. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Steve, everything that we're talking about is cutting edge. And the reason for this is, Jesus warns us. Jesus warns us it'll be like the days of Noah when he returns. And that is a very pregnant statement. That's a statement that's so charged, and yet most people just go, oh, isn't that interesting? And they turn the page of the Bible and let's go on. That tells us everything. And a biblical student will look at that and realize that that's a supernatural flare. That's a biblical flare that Jesus is shooting up going, hey guys, you need to go back to the days of Noah and understand what happened then. And of course, what we see are these monstrous giants running all over the earth. Now, isn't it interesting that, all this has been covered up? And I want to, we'll probably get into this in the second hour, which we're actually coming up to, the idea of the way bones have been uncovered, photographs were taken, and those photographs have been redacted, they've been burned, they've been covered up, the bones are been given to the Smithsonian, never to be seen again. The bottom line is, Jesus warns us, it's going to be like the days of Noah. And when you talk about James Cameron, he's talking about, and I'm familiar with them, yes, and we're talking about the chimeras that were over the weekend, the pig and human chimeras. I mean, this is it, folks. We are in the window of time, which in my opinion is similar. It's not exactly like the days of Noah. It's a pseudoprograph, and I understand all that. But it's quoted 70 times in the Tanakh, and Jude quotes an entire paragraph. We can certainly appreciate the historicity of the book of Enoch. And Enoch tells us that the fallen angels, the fallen ones, sinned against the animal kingdom, creating chimeras. The stuff we read about in Greek mythology, is real. Centaurs, minotaurs, fauns. I've got stories which I've never gone public with because I can't possibly vet them. A guy is an ambulance driver, down in the Four Corners area. I'll just tell you the story. The first time I've ever told this story, okay? And it's bizarre. It's bizarre, and I get it. And I have no way to vet it except talking of this person several times on the phone. They seem to be telling me the truth. And I almost made a trip down there to meet them and go to the area. Anyway, let me just cut to the chase. So this person's an ambulance, not a driver. Let me back up. The person is basically like a medic in an ambulance, okay? And first responder type. And this woman on a call, and there's a man and a woman. The woman is being rushed to the hospital, and her husband is there in the ambulance. And, you know, they got her hooked up with the IVs and the whole thing. They've got her stabilized. And the guy turns to her, and out of the blue, he's a Native American, out of the blue, he starts telling her a story that about a week or two ago, they were coming back to their house, and they live in a very remote area near the Four Corners on the Apache Reservation, And they saw, and they didn't know what to call them. They had no name in their lexicon to call them. They just said, we saw these creatures. They had bodies of horses, but from the waist up, they were men. And it appears to be a family. There was a man and a woman and a smaller youth. And the smaller one was right by the house. And they were talking, and we heard them talk. And all of a sudden, they realized we were there, and they galloped off and vanished. Now, that's a centaur. That's bizarre. That's beyond bizarre. I've never heard anything like that before. And that's startling information. You heard it first on Hagman Ham, and I've never gone public with that. There's no way to vet it. So, folks, you know, you're listening to that, call me crazy. But the reason why I bring that up is because we are told about the days of Noah. And the chimeras were in the days of Noah. And this is one reason why the flood, there were these monstrosities. Who knows, you know, the whole Greek mythos, centaurs, cyclopses, minotaurs, all this stuff, the work of the fallen angelic hosts. And now we're seeing it again right here in modernity.
That's a great place to, wow, to stop. Steve in L.A., we are up against our top of the hour break. Folks, you're listening to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report with both L.A. Marzulli from lamarzulli.net and Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com. They will be with us for the next hour, and we're going to continue to talk about their discoveries and findings.
Fascinating, man.
Absolutely.
Historic program.
Yes, it is. So don't go anywhere. And also in the third hour, Stan Dale will be our guest. So we have a full house tonight as well. We'll be right back after these short messages. You're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmanandHagman.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmanandHagman.com. If you go to HagmanReport.com and HagmanandHagman.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits that we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com.